Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Orora Limited Investor Update Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Brian Lowe. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today for the Orora Group half-year results presentation. I'm joined by Shaun Hughes, our Chief Financial Officer, who joined us last October, and this will be Shaun's first results call with Orora, so welcome to Shaun. I'm really pleased to be able to bring you today a number of pieces of information. I'll cover an overview of the results for our half-year ended 31st December 2020, and details about our new management team and who are responsible for delivering against our strategic pillars. We've made some really good progress this half delivering against those strategic priorities. I'll provide an update on our safety performance and our new 2024 Eco targets as we position ourselves as a leading provider of sustainable packaging solutions. I'll also take the opportunity to provide some background on the strategic direction of our OPS business in North America. I'll then hand over to Shaun, who will take you through the group and business unit financial results, and then we'll conclude with some perspectives and an outlook for FY21, after which we will be happy to take your questions. But before we start in any detail, please take note of the important information that we do have on slide two. I don't propose to read through that today, but please ensure that you do refer to that. Turning now to slide four and the full-year results for the continuing businesses. The group reported a solid set of financial results for the first half, with all of the businesses reporting an increase in underlying EBIT. Group EBIT increased by 5.2% on a reported basis and 7.5% on a constant currency basis. The increase in group EBIT was driven by solid earnings growth in both Australasia and North America, with EBIT up 4.2% and 6.7% respectively. NPAT was up 18.9% to 91.1 million, whilst EPS increased 20% to 0.096 per share. The stronger first half earnings translated to a 13.8% increase in operating cash flow, and the board have declared a final ordinary dividend of 0.065 per share, unfranked, and 100% sourced from conduit foreign income account. Turning to slide five now. Pleasingly, our solid first half operating performance was driven by a focused and solid improvement on execution to our strategic priorities within the businesses. And as I said earlier, all businesses reported an increase in underlying EBIT. In Australasia, higher earnings were driven by stronger volumes, particularly in the cans and closures businesses. Volume gains across all businesses were somewhat offset by an unfavorable mix in cans and in glass, and the impact of higher energy and insurance costs. The impact of COVID-19 and a weaker wine vintage was evident in the first half of 2021, with an unfavorable mix shift, as I referred to, in cans and glass volumes. This led to a negative EBIT impact in terms of margin, which was down 50 basis points to 19.5%. In North America, the business has improved their operating and financial performance, increased by sales force effectiveness, which was leveraging our data insights and focused on customer account profitability, together with a stronger focus on cost control measures across all businesses. Pleasingly, these actions have delivered for our North American businesses a result that has stronger AUD as well as USD earnings in both OPS and OV. Local currency USD EBIT was up 12.7% to $39 million, and the EBIT margin expanded by 30 basis points to 3.9%. The impact of COVID-19 on our North American business was certainly materially greater than what we felt in Australasia. Whilst OPS returned to revenue growth, many retailers in North America remain closed or have restricted operations, and this has negatively impacted OV's revenue within the first half of FY21. Now moving to safety on slide six. And despite the impact of COVID-19, we've made improvements to safety during the period. Continued strong focus on safety has delivered a reduction in our total recordable cases globally. However, we have seen a slight increase in our lost time frequency rate, which does reinforce the need to continue to focus on improvements in our safety, which remains a key priority for our business. We continue to drive safety improvements and invest in safety to improve performance within our three-year targeted program. And as part of our ongoing COVID-19 response, we have implemented a digital system that will enhance and streamline the monitoring of COVID-19 incidents within our North American sites. And safety at Aurora is also about mental as well as physical well-being, and we have implemented a number of programs to support our team members across the business. I'm now on slide number seven, and I thought I'd take a moment to acknowledge the positive contribution of our leadership team, and in particular, the newer members of our global executive team. And in terms of the changes that have taken place during 2020, in January of 2020, Matt Wilson joined us in the role of Group General Manager of Strategy, and Matt has over 20 years of strategy, banking, and advisory experience. In March, Bob Ferenz commenced in the role of President of Aurora Visual, and Bob has over 20 years' experience in the North American packaging industry. Sean Hughes joined us in October of 2020 as our new CFO, and Sean has extensive finance experience with much of his career spent in ASX-listed companies, operating across multiple industries, geographies, and functions. And most recently, in November, Frank Panisi joined Aurora as President of OPS. And Frank has extensive leadership experience gained across manufacturing, engineering, logistics, and technology companies. And whilst I'm encouraged by the positive steps that we've taken this half, my executive team remains focused on building on this positive momentum throughout second half of 21 and well beyond. We'll now move to slide eight. At our FY20 results, I presented the strategic pillars that we've established to support Aurora in executing our objective to become a leading sustainable packaging solutions company. And our strategic pillars remain unchanged. And just as a reminder, these are really to optimise and grow through operational improvement and best-in-class execution, which has been a big focus of the business during the first half of FY21. And it's also to enhance and expand our core products and services to strengthen a value proposition across our businesses and to enter new segments that are complementary to Aurora's capability set. I'm now on slide nine. I won't go into all the detail that's covered in this slide, as it also remains unchanged of what we showed you late in 2020. We remain committed to delivering and reporting progress against these strategic pillars and delivering on organic growth, meeting returns-focused hurdles and making appropriate investments whilst ensuring a disciplined approach towards capital management. This is what you can expect from me and from my executive team. Moving now to slide 10. For the first half of FY21, we made really good progress against our core strategies in each of the businesses and have good momentum to carry forward into the second half of the year. In Australasia, we continue to actively assess our future requirements to meet customer needs and the growth of can demand particularly. Since the demerger, we've invested approximately $530 million of capital into Australasia, and you can expect us to continue to seek out expansion opportunities within our businesses here. Further expansion of our cans capacity, our slimline expansion at our Revesby site in New South Wales is well underway and is expected to commission in the fourth quarter of FY21. And also pleasingly, our G2 rebuild of our furnace and our glass plant in Gawler was completed successfully during calendar year 20 and since then has operated very efficiently. We also continue to make investments to increase our recycled content in glass, which is an important part of our sustainability agenda. We have commenced a preliminary assessment of international beverage footprint expansion and will continue to evaluate potential ANZ adjacency opportunities. In North America, new leadership was installed in both OPS and OV during 2020. And in OPS, we have seen significant improvement and gained momentum in operating disciplines and in financial performance. Aurora Visual has returned to profitability during the first half of FY21, driven by a focused cost reduction program and improved execution, in spite of a really tough retail trading condition in North America. The North American team remains focused on enhancing the business model with initiatives across both OPS and OV. Moving now to slide 11. Each business unit has strategic priorities under our three strategic pillars, which are optimize and grow, enhance and expand, and enter new markets, as I had mentioned. In Australasia, we are committed to investing in our beverage business, both organically and inorganically. The organic focus will continue to pursue increased automation and more efficient practices as we look to further optimize, enhance, and expand our high-quality domestic beverage business. And based on customer demand, we anticipate and are committed to bringing more capacity online. And in addition, we continue to explore the viability of potential offshore entry points and potential opportunities for adjacencies in our domestic markets in Australia and New Zealand. And within North America, our new management teams in both OPS and OV have been focused on business operational improvements to drive profit improvement and build a solid foundation for growth. These improvements include volume growth, margin recovery, and efficiency cost reduction programs, which have all shown positive momentum during the first half of the year. Moving forwards, our North American business will continue to be focused on proactively managing account profitability, enhancing sales force effectiveness, and continuing to focus on cost control measures. These actions resulted in an increase in local currency earnings for both businesses during the year. We are also excited about the opportunities that further digitization of our North American business models will bring in the coming years, with a number of initiatives expected to come online during 2021. And these include our new e-commerce platform at OPS. We have a robust roadmap for further enhancements planned for the years to come. And within OPS, product and targeted geographical expansion remains a focus area, with inorganic expansion a consideration for us from calendar year 2022. And for Aurora Visual, we will review the strategic direction by the end of calendar year 2021, clarifying how best to progress our profit improvement initiatives and the logical next steps. And this is beyond the immediate stabilisation activities that the team have been focused on over the last 6 to 9 months. Moving to slide 12. Aurora has continued to build on its already strong credentials as a leading sustainable packaging solutions company through improved environmental outcomes via our eco targets and focused on recycled content and recyclability of the packaging offered to our customers. Aurora launched its new 5-year eco targets at the start of FY21, covering reductions in CO2 emissions, waste to landfill, and water use. The eco targets are ratios expressed against production-related metrics, as depicted on the slide. This was done to increase their relevance to Aurora's business groups. At the half year, Aurora is tracking well on achieving over our first year eco targets. And in regard to our all-employee culture pulse check, insights will be available to us at the end of March, and steps will be taken to implement what has been identified following that review. As stated at the full year results, Aurora has secured 100% of the glass cullet that's generated from the Western Australian Government's Container Deposit Scheme. And this scheme has now been operational since October, and the glass cullet has been successfully transported to Gawler, and the facility is increasing the recycled content within the product. This increased use of cullet builds on Aurora's existing use of cullet from the South Australian and New South Wales container deposit schemes. Aurora has also reflected on its focus on human rights issues, and this has been related to in relation to the production of our modern slavery statement in accord with the regulatory timeframe and framework, and this report is currently undergoing board approval. Now moving to slide 14. We are conscious that there are varying degrees of understanding of our North American business, and in particular, the Aurora Packaging Solutions business, or OPS for short. So I did want to take the opportunity today to provide a little bit more color on the business and the industry in which it operates, and also provide some insight into our strategy to firstly stabilize the business, which has been well underway, and then to grow the business into the future. From an industry perspective, OPS operates in a very large market. The North American packaging distribution market is estimated to be worth some $35 billion. And unlike Australia, B2B distributors like OPS play a significant and critical role in supply chains in North America. And this is given the breadth and depth of the economy and sheer number of companies that do transact every single day. A significant number of customers, particularly SMEs, value the service offering of distributors, given that distributors like OPS provide a one-stop shop for a variety of products, saving time and cost, have knowledgeable sales teams who can tailor products and services to specific customer needs, maintain networks of warehousing capacity to store products and ship quickly, which is often the same day to these customers, provide a wide range of value-added services such as design and engineering, kitting and customization of products, and provide the flexibility to customers of smaller order quantities, helping them to manage their working capital. Turning specifically to the OPS business model on page 15, it is important to understand that OPS is more than just a distributor of packaging products, as it spans manufacturing as well as value-added services. The business is vertically integrated into corrugated packaging, operating 8 manufacturing sites in California and Texas, 2 of the largest economies in North America, as well as operations in Chicago. This vertical integration ensures surety of supply to our distribution arm and allows us greater flexibility to cater to customer requirements. Our distribution capabilities has a national reach, operating from 64 sites across the US, Canada, and Mexico, and is led by a highly experienced sales team with strong customer relationships. The value-added services in our business, such as engineering and design and fulfillment, are a competitive differentiator and provide heightened customer stickiness and higher margin earnings. These are areas we are actively looking to expand over time. From a revenue breakdown perspective, the business has a strong presence in corrugate, which aligns with our sustainability goals. Although importantly, the product portfolio is agnostic and well diversified beyond that too. And from an end market perspective, the business provides products and services to a diverse range of largely defensive and growing end markets. Moving to our strategy for OPS, which is depicted on slide 16. And as we reported, over the course of FY19 and FY20, the business experienced sub-market and operating headwinds, which impacted the performance of the business. And over the course of the past 12 months, the root causes of these operational issues have been identified, with a range of operating initiatives now in place to stabilize the business performance and position the business for sustainable growth. And pleasingly, you can see from the results, the performance of OPS has significantly improved and is a credit to the focus and expertise of the entire OPS team for the outcomes today. Moving forward, the next phase of our strategy will focus on enhancement to the OPS business model, particularly through further digitisation, starting with a new e-commerce platform expected to be online by the end of FY21. Further enhancements are planned in the coming periods and will help transform how we go to market and create a further competitive differentiation. Our new OPS president, Frank Panizzi, is working hard with the team to prioritise growth initiatives to drive top-line performance as well. And we will be proactively seeking to expand the reach of our business, as well as enhance the market positions in higher growth products and end markets over time. And as I touched on earlier, there's also a renewed focus on expanding our value-added services. We are genuinely excited about the platform we're building now in OPS and believe we are well placed to generate sustainable revenue and earnings growth in the business for many years to come. I'll now hand over to Sean, who will take you through some of the group and regional financial results.
Thanks, Brian, and good morning, everyone. I'll start with the group results before I cover the regional financial performance. I'm on slide 18, and this slide summarises our first half group underlying and statutory earnings. At a group level, in line with the strengthening of the Australian dollar, revenue was 1.2% lower, driven by a 3.5% Australian dollar reduction in North American sales. Importantly though, local US dollar revenue in North America was up 2% compared to the prior period. Net finance costs were down $13 million on the prior period to $14.4 million, primarily reflecting the reduction of net debt following the sale of Fibre in April 2020. Underlying NPAT and EPS were both up strongly in the half, with NPAT increasing 18.9% and EPS 20%, reflecting higher earnings and lower net finance costs. Our on-market buyback has progressed well, and this is reflected in our EPS growth, which has outpaced NPAT growth. On a statutory basis, there were two significant items in the first half that net out to a $6.3 million after-tax gain. Related to the Fibre sale, we completed the post-completion accounts processes and have recorded a $12.8 million after-tax gain in discontinued operations. We have also recorded additional decommissioning costs of $6.5 million after-tax at the former Petrie Mill site following ongoing project review and a reassessment of estimated remediation requirements. The timeline for Petrie remains unchanged and is expected to be completed by December 2022. Turning to slide 19. Australasia delivered sales revenue of $441.2 million, up 7% on the prior period. EBIT of $86.1 million was up 4.2% on the prior period, and I'll step through this more on the next slide. ROFE was 340 basis points below the prior period, reflecting the impact of recent capital upgrades, now in the asset base as a result of the G2 furnace upgrade and the new Gawler warehouse. Benefits of these investments will continue to flow in coming years. However, ROFE is still a very solid 28%. Cash flow was strong in the half at $91.8 million, reflecting higher earnings and lower base capex, offset by a $17.7 million negative movement in working capital, reflecting increased receivables in line with higher sales, a one-off unwinding of extended terms related to a single supplier, and partially offset by reduced inventory in cans. Base capex of $10.4 million was lower than the prior period, given the second half weighting of the capex program in FY21, and the G2 rebuild in the prior period of approximately $25 million. Cash flow conversion was strong at approximately 77%, and we expect that the Australian business will deliver cash conversion in excess of 70% for the full year. Turning to slide 20. EBIT growth in Australasia was driven by strong volume growth in both cans and closures compared to the prior period. In cans, the mix of product was skewed towards the grocery channel, supported by continued strength of at-home consumption. In glass, despite the impact of a smaller 2020 wine vintage, total glass tonnage was broadly in line with the prior period, with wine volumes slightly behind the prior period, offset by growth in beer and other beverage categories. Earnings margin was adversely impacted by this shift in mix in both cans and glass, together with the impacts of previously announced cost headwinds related to increased energy and insurance, $1.5 and $0.75 million respectively. Moving to slide 21. In spite of the ongoing impacts of COVID-19 throughout North America, our business has performed well, with the first half results highlighting both the resilience of our business and the results of our profit improvement initiatives. In local currency terms, revenue was up 2% to $993 million US. EBIT increased 12.7% to US $39 million, and ROFE increased 370 bips to 15.4%. I'll step through this in more detail on the next slide. The OPS business improvement programs have continued to gain traction in the half, with revenue up 2.8% and margins increasing by 0.5% to 4.6%. Importantly, while OV continues to experience challenging trading conditions in retail, cost reduction initiatives and a shift in sales to defensive market segments has seen the business return to positive EBIT in the half. Operating cash flow increased 14.7% to $53 million, broadly in line with the improved earnings. Cash conversion was approximately 84%, up from 74% in the prior period, driven by improved working capital management. Slide 22. The call out here is that North American EBIT on a constant currency basis has improved by 12.7%. On a reported basis, the EBIT margins have increased by 30 bips to 3.9%. As mentioned, the improvement in earnings was driven by the continued execution of our strategic improvement initiatives, including increased transparency and analysis of customer account profitability, enhanced sales force effectiveness, and a stronger focus on cost control measures. These actions resulted in an increase in local currency earnings for both OPS and OV. The widespread closure of retailers across North America due to COVID-19 has continued. This had a direct impact on the OV business, with a decline in revenues of approximately 6% on the prior period. Despite the lower revenue, OV earnings marginally improved compared to the prior period, driven by the continued focus on defensive end customers and the execution of cost control measures, which included the LA site closure and right-sizing of the cost base. Reported EBIT includes an Australian dollar FX translation impact of $3 million. Turning to slide 23. Stronger earnings were converted into cash as forecast, with operating cash flow of $144.8 million, which was up 13.8% on the prior period. Cash conversion of 79% is higher than 72% reported in the prior period. However, was in line with management's expectations, given the phasing of the base CapEx program in Australasia in FY21. The main points to note include an increase in cash EBITDA, broadly in line with lease-adjusted earnings, lower base CapEx of $21.4 million compared to the prior period of $50 million, which reflects the impact of the G2 build at Gawler of approximately $25 million in the period, and a second-half phasing of base capital expenditure in Australasia. Gross capex, comprising base and growth, was $26.4 million in the half and was approximately 80% of underlying depreciation. Investments were made in working capital to support the increased sales, the early payment of payables in North America to capture settlement discounts, and the unwind of extended terms of a supplier in Australia. And these were partially offset by a reduction in cans inventory and paper in OPS. Excluding the impact of AASB 16 for leases, interest payments were $9 million, down $11.7 million on the prior period, principally as a result of lower net debt following the receipt of the fibre sale proceeds in the second half of FY20. Cash conversion for FY21 is expected to be 70%. Slide 24. Slide 24 highlights Aurora's strong balance sheet, which provides operating and strategic flexibility as we move forward. At the 31st of December, net bank debt decreased to 277 million, with leverage at 0.9 times, in line with June 2020 and down from 2.3 times at December 2019. This small reduction in net debt was driven by stronger earnings, reduced base capex, receipts from the closeout of the fibre completion accounts process that was flagged in FY20, the timing of a tax refund, and a $13 million FX benefit on US debt. These inflows were largely offset by cash outflows resulting from the on-market share buyback, where we have now spent approximately $111 million since commencing in September last year. The buyback is now 44% complete, with 42.7 million shares purchased at an average purchase price of $2.59. We expect to complete the on-market buyback prior to the 30th of June 2021. We have significant headroom in our facilities, with undrawn capacity of approximately $595 million and cash reserves of over $80 million as at the 31st of December. In terms of our debt facilities, Aurora has a $350 million syndicated facility maturing in April 2022. We have commenced a process to refinance this and expect to have this completed by June of this year. The average tenure of the group's facilities is 2.5 years. Our approach to capital will continue to be balanced and disciplined, and we remain committed to maintaining sensible debt levels and investment-grade credit metrics with our target leverage range between 2 and 2.5 times EBITDA. Our principal focus is to use our strong financial position to invest in both organic and inorganic growth to generate future shareholder returns, while returning funds to shareholders in the absence of immediate opportunities for growth. Turning to slide 25. The board has declared an unfranked dividend of 6.5 cents per share. This represents a payout ratio of 68% of underlying NPAT. This 6.5 cent dividend is in line with our first half 20 interim dividend and is 1 cent higher than the final FY20 dividend. I'll now hand back to Brian.
Thanks, Sean. We'll now turn to perspectives for FY21, which are covered on slide number 27, and I'll start with Australasia, where we will continue to identify and implement cost reduction initiatives, or reinvest in asset upgrades and new capacity where it's appropriate. Cairns volume is expected to remain strong. The 2020 wine vintage was certainly weaker, and exports are expected to remain subdued. You know, we expect industry wine bottle volumes to decline for the second half of fiscal year 21. We will work and are working very closely with our customers to understand the plan for the impact of China bottled wine exports, particularly in the second half of 21 and beyond. And we have a range of activities underway to find new homes for capacity that may be freed up based on that shortfall. Energy prices are expected to remain steady beyond the reset experienced in calendar 2020. A further increase in insurance costs of approximately $750,000 will impact the Australasian business in the second half of 21. The G2 rebuild that we referred to earlier has an expected gain in the second half of 21 of approximately $6 million. Although we expect this to be more than offset by the volume softness that we've alluded to in the second half. In North America, the new management team remains focused on building on the improved performance delivered in the first half of 21 and the earnings improvement programs, sales growth, margin improvement, and cost efficiency initiatives are the priority. Market conditions in North America continue to remain challenged, with the future impacts of COVID-19 uncertain. California and Texas, which are the key markets that we operate in, represent 60% of our total North American revenue. And we also expect approximately $750,000 of insurance cost impact in the second half of our North American business. In respect to cash flow and CapEx, we continue to target group cash conversion greater than 70% in FY21. Phasing of our Australasian-based capital program is weighted to the second half of fiscal year 21, and FY CapEx is expected to be approximately 90% of underlying depreciation if we exclude depreciation of leases. And in respect to capital, the FY21 dividend is to be towards the top end of our targeted payout range. The current on-market buyback, as Sean referred to, is expected to complete within FY21. We will explore and continue to explore adjacent growth opportunities within Australia and New Zealand, and Aurora will assess the strategy for our growth opportunities and the strategic direction for Aurora Visual by the end of the calendar year 21. And M&A within our current North American business is not an immediate priority, particularly for the remainder of FY21. Now I'll turn your attention to our outlook statement on slide 28. Aurora delivered solid operating performance in the first half of 21, with improved operating momentum and financial performance across all business units. Correspondingly, at a group level, Aurora is forecasting higher earnings in FY21 compared to the prior year. In Australasia, Aurora expects second half of the FY21 EBIT to be negatively impacted by lower wine bottle exports to China and the smaller 2020 wine vintage. Full year EBIT is expected to be broadly in line with that of the prior year. In North America, in a continuation of the improved operating and financial performance, Aurora expects EBIT to be higher in the second half compared to FY20, and we expect it to be higher for the full year. And this outlook obviously is subject to global and domestic economic conditions and any further adverse impact from COVID-19. So that concludes our presentation remarks. Thank you for listening to us today. I'll now ask the operator to open the line for your questions. Please, operator.